You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, August 20th, episode 3758, brought to you by Poseidon Animal Health. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic, horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world.
Let's go!
Happy Wednesday!
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. We have some auditors helping us out in the show today. Auditor Amy does the final state line tack product review for 2025 of the Shire's Moretta Gianna Tall Riding Boots. I'm a little concerned about these because they're tall riding boots for $160, so we'll see how they wear. Yeah. Auditor Charlie Ann tells us about her work as scientific publications coordinator at the AAEP. Again, you know, our listeners are smarter than us, so we're going to find out exactly what she does. And we have some mighty weird news. You have a bunch of mighty weird news, right?
Oh my gosh, 2 weeks worth, so we got to get to it.
There's no auditor post show today, and I'll tell you why. Is because I have my final cancer CT scans that I get every year, and if these are clean, then off the hook for 3 years. So let's hope they're clean and all's good. Can you guess what my nightmare hobby would be?
Okay. Pronouncing people's names correctly on a loudspeaker.
Number one.
Anything to do probably with bugs or snakes?
Yes. Number two. You ding, ding, ding. You got it,
man,
right.
Do I know you or what?
Yes, you do. Well, every year, because pythons are a big problem now in the Everglades, they have the Florida Python Challenge. It lasts 2 weeks, and they actually give away prize money to the person who catches the most pythons in 2 weeks.
I mean, if this is the not the ultimate Florida man, Florida person challenge, I don't know what is. Like, hey, y'all, here's what we need you to do. We gonna give you some cash if y'all walk out in that swamp there and catch some snakes. Hell yeah!
Big snakes. Awesome. Really, really big snakes.
Really big ones.
Well, the ironic thing is the person that won this year is a badass woman. Her name is Taylor Stanberry, and she looks in the pictures like she might hit 5 foot maybe. She is tiny, and she made history as the first woman to win the ultimate grand prize for the Florida Python Challenge, capturing a record, are you ready, 60 pythons in 10 days.
What?
A total of 294 Burmese pythons were caught during the 10 days. And, you know, they're a serious threat. They eat everything. Basically, anything that moves, they'll eat. Birds and rabbits and, you know, any other critter that's in the Everglades.
They're invasive. Like, I don't know, people start dropping them off and they have bred and, oh my gosh.
And some of them are 15 to 20 feet long. I mean, they're enormous. So this person, she actually has a YouTube channel called Toby's Troop, T-O-B-I-E-S, Troop. And it's her and her husband. And let me tell you, if you don't like snakes like me, do not even go to this YouTube channel.
Did you watch it?
I couldn't. I looked at the videos and went, nope, I'm out.
Question, I know I'm not supposed to ask deeper questions usually, but do they catch them live or do they?
I don't know. They dispatch them all. They all get dispatched. They don't, because where are you going to rehome them, right?
So, I mean, are they shooting snakes out of trees or
something? I don't know. I don't know exactly how they do it. I don't really want to know.
I would like to book Taylor Stanberry on the podcast. So if anybody knows her, please, we need to have her on.
One-on-one episode with her without me.
Oh my God, I want to.
She would probably be interesting. Her YouTube channel has a total of 150 million views so far. So somebody's watching her and the snakes. It's all about, apparently they have a sanctuary and stuff, but she does this on a regular basis. A fun night is going out you know, in the Everglades and, you know, killing pythons. That's a fun night,
oh,
apparently.
Oh, my God. So, I have to talk to her.
Better her than me. And she is so tiny. It just noticeably tiny when you see her standing with other people. Okay. So badass.
She's my new hero, and we're going to have her on, and it probably will go poorly, but I'm going to try to get her on. Let's do it.
I don't think they eat pythons either. I'm not sure what they do with them after.
See, we have so many questions for Taylor.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, Daily Winnie time. I don't have any birthdays again. Can you believe that? So, yeah, I know. We have a lull in auditor birthdays right now. But we have a brand new auditor, Charity McClung. Thank you for joining. We're happy to have you. She posted. Did you see her post in the auditor room? She has a bunch of gypsy vanners.
And, God love her.
Yes, yeah, so it looks like she posted a bunch of great pictures in there. So thank you, Charity, for joining up. Apparently, she's listened for a long time. Also, I want to give a daily Winnie to dressage rider Pam Goodrich and her horse Lamborghini, nicknamed Zoomy. They have officially joined the Dressage Federation Century Club. And of course, that is when the rider and the horse's age combination reaches 100 years old. They rode at the Green Mountain Horse Association Dressage July Days, and they did third level test 3. And she is 72 years old, and her horse is 29 years old. Still riding level 3 dressage. That's pretty good. So congratulations to them.
Oh, well, this is cool. This is a good day for fighting cancer, Glenn, and I'm so proud of you. But yesterday, I took Homer to chemotherapy, and when I went to pick him up, and I'm pretty sure it's because they were very, very happy that he's not going to be coming back every week, they had a graduation ceremony. He finished his standard regular cancer treatment. We've been doing this for 6 months.
Wow.
Every week or two.
Wow.
Well, it started out every week, then it was every two, but then sometimes it has to be one, just depends. And yeah, so Homer finished his chemotherapy yesterday. Now, it was so cute. Okay. So
Did they ring the bell like they do with the...
Yeah, they actually said we need a bell because they had he wore a crown and he got a certificate and all the technicians and everybody came out and cheered for him. Now, usually what happens is the dogs sit down and they get the crown and they hold the certificate out in front of him. Well, they're going to send me the video because Homer was so excited. He was barking and he wore the crown, but he wouldn't sit still. He's just like, raw, 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 raw. And I was like, this is why you guys are doing this, because you're so glad he's not coming back next
week. Is his cancer better? Does that mean it's better?
So, yeah, they said it. So he's little lymph nodes and they're just almost gone. But there are certain dogs that are at a potential high risk for it returning. So we're going back in 3 weeks and it'll probably get like an oral chemo that I can give him here at home. It's pills, I guess. And then we'll keep that going and he'll still go back for checks every month to my like local vet here. Cause I mean, I drive up to North Oklahoma City, which is an hour, and then I'm not going to go home and then come back, but they never tell you when they're going to be done. He's going to be done. So I get up there and I'm like, okay, what can I explore in Oklahoma
City?
Which
store haven't I seen yet?
Yesterday, I went to a diner and paid $15 for what was supposed to be this delicious vegan French toast. And it was two pieces of bread with like blueberries on top. Like a blueberry jelly on top. I was like, okay, not coming back. I mean, I've got a whole list of restaurants that are like good and not good. And then I've seen every antique store, Glenn. I mean, I even went to a store called Dead People Stuff. Okay.
Like, really?
I've been, yes.
Only in Oklahoma.
Yes. Only in Oklahoma. Dead People Stuff. Look it up. It was not that great. But anyway, I've done everything in North Oklahoma City that I could think of. So I was like, oh, they got to get a break. Trader Joe's is sick of seeing me because that's where Trader Joe's is. So I go there all the time.
Checking it, walking down the aisles.
Well, I went to the restaurant yesterday and this lady clearly, I mean, I think it's by sitting by myself, she was visibly uncomfortable with that. So like I ordered the food and she's like, what can I get you? What can I get you a drink? Would you want to order your food now? And I was like, I'm in like literally no hurry. Yeah. And she was so uncomfortable having, I actually asked her, I was like, should I move to a different table? Like, do you want me to move? She was just like, I mean, I wasn't even done with my two pieces of bread with jelly on top. And she tries to take the plate. I'm like, I'm not done. And then she's like, would you like a drink to go? And I was like, oh my God.
Did you smell bad?
I don't know. I wasn't wearing my poultice barn clothes or anything, but I was like, she seemed visibly uncomfortable having a solo patron in there, I guess. Anyway, but that not being the point here, Homer is done with chemo. Yay. And I'm so excited. Done for a minute, but like,
were they giving him IVs? Is that, were they doing it that way?
Yeah, every single time. And typically you can like infuse it, no problem. But I guess Basset Hounds with their these crooked little legs, if it leaves the vein by accident, it could kill him. Oh. So they have to fully sedate him and then put it in. Oh. So he's been through the dang ringer, this poor dog. And he still is like so happy and he barks and he's so excited. It is weird. Like you would think he would hate me because I take him to the vet every week. But I think the only thing he remembers is I'm the one who picks him up. So he's like, you saved me. I have nothing to do with taking him there, but you saved me, Molly. Let me see.
It's good Basset Hounds are not very bright either. That probably helps.
Oh, God. God love him. He's so cute. He's so cute. But yes, he's not going to solve a puzzle or anything.
The picture you sent me last week when I was in Dallas, that was me holding him when he was a puppy, right?
Yeah.
When we visited you, you had just gotten him. He was tiny.
Yeah, he was like 8 weeks old or something. He's so super cute.
Yeah.
So, yay. Congratulations, Homer.
Good job, Homer.
It was so cute. I got to get this video. Y'all will just love it.
Well, do you want your horse to perform at its best? Poseidon Animal Health has the veterinarian recommended supplements to keep your equine friend feeling their best. Is your horse stressed by travel or competition? Our stress pace can help them stay calm and focused. Worried about your horse's digestion, digestive HP, and the gut health reset pack? By the way, digestive HP, Scooter's on that right now, can promote a healthy gut and keep your horse feeling their best. Poseidon Animal Health products are trusted worldwide by Olympic athletes. Give your horse the same champion treatment. Visit PoseidonAnimalHealth.com. Scooter decided, and he's never done this since we moved here a year ago, he decided to open a stall door. We figure about an hour before Jennifer went out this morning. And Jennifer had just gotten a new bag of alfalfa pellets, and they were sitting by the hay. And she just hadn't put them away yet, and because there aren't horses in that area normally. Well, Scooter decided to eat his way through the bag had his helping of alfalfa pellets this morning before Jennifer went out. So we're keeping an eye on him to make sure he's pooping and all those things.
Well, Miles tore the dang gate off. So in the world of Baby Butters and Carl and their inappropriate behavior, I've had to separate Carl, Craigslist Carl, from the group. So I put Miles out with him in a separate paddock. Miles was not okay with that. Not okay. And he ripped the gate off and then went in. And what did he choose to eat? An entire bag of dry beet pulp. Like, why would you choose that?
Oh my God.
I'm like,
that's even hard to get down. I mean,
I'm like, well, you know what? I don't know what to do. I'm like, whatever, but let's just see what happens here. Like, if you die, you did it to yourself.
So Scooter and Miles are both on watch this morning.
Yeah. Well, no, this was a week ago. Oh, okay. He's fine. He was totally fine. At least he got a low sugar item, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
I'm like, dry beet pulp?
Oh, I would have been afraid of him being blocked up for a month.
Yeah, you would think so, but now he's fine. That horse will, you know, he just can't die. He just can't. As many times as he tries to kill himself, he's fine.
Dr. Aaron loves meat pulp, but I don't think dry an entire bag at a time. I don't think that's the recommendation.
To be fair, he didn't eat the whole bag. He definitely did a job redecorating the barn floor with a lot of it. Like, it was almost like he was like pissed that it wasn't very good. And he was like, he threw it everywhere.
Scooter didn't waste the kernel. He was eating as much. And of course, alfalfa pellets, really good for a pony with insulin resistance, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
you'll
that's
be fine.
Great. It'll
fine.
Probably have hot feet for the next 3 days.
Everything's fine.
All right, let's get to our first guest. Auditor Amy is with us, and she is going to do our final State Line Tack product review of a pair of tall riding boots.
Amy, welcome to the show. Would you, Glenn, just a little backstory. Amy lives down the street and boards a stable down the street.
I do.
So another one of my Oklahoma sisters coming through.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of riding, Amy? What do you do?
I do English dressage. I did hunter jumper as a child growing up, a teenager, a young adult.
Gotcha. Okay.
And tell everybody what horse you have.
Yes. So I have an off the track thoroughbred that actually spent a month at Jamie's and then went to Horse and Hound. And then I adopted him from Horse and Hound. His name is Honorable Man, Manny. And I've had him for about 3 years.
Manny is the horse, Glenn, if you probably don't remember this story. So this family brought me this horse to train, and the husband unloads the horse, and it's this big, beautiful bay thoroughbred, and they get him out of the trailer, and the husband hands me the horse, and he's there for a month to be like, I guess he had some behaviors and whatever. And the husband hands me the lead rope, and he goes, "We don't want him back." And I was like, excuse me.
That's not how this works.
We don't do that. Okay. They paid me and then handed me the lead rope and said, "We don't want him back." And I was like, okay, well, this is a problem. So he's here. And I'm like, he's fine. Like, he's a really good boy. It's just, they were trying to do hunter jumper shows and lunging the hell out of him and just doing all this. And he would get really stressed. And so I called Nelson at Horse and Hound, and I'm like, I have this really nice thoroughbred that somebody could really like, he's really nice. He'll get adopted in like 5 minutes. So we were able to facilitate his adoption through Horse and Hound, and guess who adopted him? A volunteer.
Yes. I'm a volunteer at Horse and Hound. And so, yeah, Nelda asked me to go grab him to work him in the round pen, and as soon as I grabbed him, went out and caught him, it was love. So I couldn't leave without him.
Hey, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
It was so great. I was like, and these people, like, they just left him. I was like, he's such a nice horse. And Amy, but you know what, if it wouldn't happen like that, Amy wouldn't have her little bestie.
Absolutely. And he is such a good boy. I mean, my 9-year-old tacks him up and catches him for me. And, you know, my kids help me with him. And, you know, we haven't done anything fancy. Honestly, he just needed to be able to be let down and be a horse and be loved on and learn how to not be anxious. And now he's a great boy.
Yay. Yeah, it's so good. So good. So, I mean, obviously, are you out with Manny and your Shire's Moretta Gianna tall riding boots?
Yes. Yes, we are.
So tell us about these boots.
Yeah. So I actually have bought these boots, this brand, before in just a paddock boot. And so I was really excited to try these because I loved my paddock boots. So I ordered them based off my sizing. I will say that when I measured, because this was came back to riding as an adult. So I'm not an adult beginner because I had a lot of show career as a child and teenager, but I had not ever bought tall boots as an adult. I'll just say that. Anyway, so I really, you know, did all the measurements and did everything. All the measurements that were posted on the website were completely accurate. The boots came well packaged. They are beautiful. They're aesthetically very pleasing. The zippers are very nice. They have some stretch panels in them, which I really like. And
so they are
the actual
boots? They are zips?
Yeah, they zip up the back. Okay. Yeah.
They're pretty.
They're really pretty. And the foot is really like stable on them. So like the toe box and the heel are very stable. They're very nice. I really enjoyed them. I will say, when I said that there was, you know, one room for improvement, it's more on my side, I think, just because I had not purchased tall boots before. I think next time I would size like a half a size up. just for the toe box and the heel because they are so fitted. So yesterday, funny story, I wanted to get one more ride in on them. So I went out and got Manny and we went out to go work and I was ready to ride him. And the cold front came through because we had a cold front come through in Oklahoma.
It was laughable. I mean, like, it dropped like 4 degrees.
Yeah. Let's, cold front.
Listen, okay, Jamie.
Manny, are you being dramatic, Manny?
Manny was very dramatic. He got very dramatic. And I asked my 9-year-old to bring me the mounting block. And she came over and brought it to me. And she goes, make good choices, mommy. And so I thought about it for just a minute. And then my trainer was giving a lesson and she came over and looked at me and I was like, don't worry, I'm not going to get on him. And she's like, I think that's probably a good idea. So I made a good choice and I did not ride yesterday, but I did do lots of groundwork in my tall boots.
I got to tell you, when I sent these to you, I was concerned about any time I see a tall boot go out that's $169, I'm worried about the tall boot because it's cheap. I mean, that's cheap for a tall boot. And
yes.
And a lot of times you get what you pay for, but it sounds like you actually like these.
Yeah, I mean, I did really like them. Like I said, they were well made for the price. I've had this brand before, and so I kind of expected, you know, that it would be, you know, it's, again, not high quality, but like good quality. I think it'll last. I'd be happy to wear it in a clinic or, you know, a schooling show, something of that nature. And the foot was actually really well built, but I would size up just a half a size just for the foot.
The fact that you got close ordering a pair of tall boots online is a miracle.
Well, yeah, the measurements were all correct online, so I was very pleased with that.
What I like about them is they have that kind of athletic shoe bottom as opposed to like, I mean, I grew up in the riding and showing in the 80s and the tack was so uncomfortable, like hard wooden bottoms on your boots and you had to like pry them up. We used to have to put baby powder in our boots, like just to even get them, our foot in there. Like who thought? And then these look so like kind of pliable and they have a comfortable athletic kind of shoe bottom. And yeah, I mean, $169 is not cheap, you know, it's
for a pair of tall boots. It's pretty cheap though. I mean, it really is.
I've had tall boots, Glenn, that were $40 and they were on clearance on a website. And I was like, oh my God, these are great. And they poof, they fell apart. Like,
I stopped by one of the tall boot stands at WESA last week and the starting tall, these were Italian. The starting ones were at $1,250.
Well, that's stupid. Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's
and they went up to $4,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
I think I'll take my shot. You know what? I think that these are the kind of boots I should get because the way that I take care of my tack, I probably need to have some that are about, you know, 2-for-1 as far as like the Ariats go.
But no, well, Glenn, really I'll say, nice and I'm,
you know what?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, Glenn, for a low maintenance Oklahoma girl who is still, you know, not heavy into, you know, showing and doing all of that stuff, I think these are a perfect purchase.
Yay.
A nice little splurge for somebody that is just like getting back into riding or like Jamie doesn't take care of her tack. that would just really, really, really be a good fit for them. I would certainly buy them again.
The one thing that goes bad quickly on these, and when tall boots first started coming out with the back zipper, we had our tack shop when they were coming out with the back zipper. And one of the problems they had is the zippers weren't very good and they tend to break. So your zippers held up?
Yeah, my zippers held up. I actually wore these boots to a party too, and I dressed up as Equestrian Barbie. And a non-horsey person that was my roommate was able to zip me up into them with no problem either. So, yes, the zippers were excellent.
Amy,
let me remind you, picks or it didn't happen.
I loved when zippers came in because we did have our tack shop back then. And I cannot tell you, twice I had trying on boots on a woman and they always think their size is smaller than it really is. And they insist that you try and get that damn boot on. And I get it on. I couldn't get it off. Two times I had to cut the boots off. Because you guys always think that you need a smaller size than you actually do.
Don't you put Amy and I up in that category, okay? Listen.
I measured, Glenn.
We're not bougie. We're Oklahoma, right? Okay?
That's right.
Shopping at a... But I'm not going to pin... I'm not going to go any further, but I would like to say that I'm glad these worked out for you and I need a picture of you dressed as Barbie.
Okay. Yes, I will supply that for you.
Well, thank you for doing this, Amy. We really appreciate it. And then enjoy your boots.
Awesome. Thank you both.
This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. Today, we have another auditor with us. Her name is Charlie Ann, and she is Scientific Publications Coordinator at the American Association of Equine Practitioners. Charlie, I always say that our listeners are smarter than us, and here you are to prove it once again.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. You guys have done a great job with this program, and certainly that takes a lot of intelligence. It might just be a different skill set.
I think it's a much different skill set, actually. So when I saw that you worked there, I thought, we got to have you on because I don't know that we've had too many people on that are actually part of the AAP. Can you kind of, for the two people that don't know listening from a foreign country, what is the AAEP?
Well, they might know in a foreign country as well. We have members and people who submit paper to us from all over the world. But it is the American Association of Equine Practitioners. It was founded in 1954 by 11 charter members with a goal to protect the health and welfare of the horse. We now have over 9,000 members that comprise veterinarians and veterinary students. And we also have a charitable arm called the Foundation of the Horse. And the foundation came out in 1994 to advance care and compassion through disaster relief, veterinary projects in developing countries, as well as providing veterinary scholarships and grants for equine research.
Well, you listen to the show. You know we have vets on almost every week. And One of their favorite things to do every year is to go to the AAP convention. And I hear that you help organize that, actually.
Well, yes. I work with the entire paper process. So if anybody has submitted a paper, it has come through my desk or my predecessor's desk. And from everything from the call for papers, which is where we say, hey, we need submissions for next year, submit your papers. We give them the guidelines, the times. We make sure that the guidelines are updated. We get them to submit on our online process, which is still relatively new for us. Then I organize it on the backside and it goes through our scientific review and editorial board committees, and that is part of our educational programs committee. But there's about 60 volunteers out there on this committee. We have a ton of volunteers and so many wonderful members who volunteer their time with us.
And these are research and papers, Charlie?
We take all sorts. So we take abstracts, we take scientific papers, we also take review papers, how-to papers, and then business papers. We have a subcategory that doesn't necessarily go through the submission process, but our program chair has invited sessions with specific types. So we have like an in-depth where they may only have 3 to 5 speakers over a 3-hour period, and it goes into a certain topic in-depth with a vision in mind from start to finish on that, so they're not having overlap, and they're really trying to educate about a specific topic in-depth. In both the invited sessions and our general program, we have how-tos, so papers that show something very practical that you could look at the paper and go, oh, okay, I always wanted to do this. Maybe I wasn't quite sure how. This is the way I feel like I can do that. So those are very popular, and we now have a short format session called BURST that is how-to quick. So it's pretty much think of something where you're trying to learn 3 things and the presenter has like 7 minutes to communicate that to you. And we do X number of presentations an hour, and then we have a panel discussion where the attendees can ask questions afterwards.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Like a mini TED Talk.
Like mini TED Talks. And then some of our how-to programs are chosen for dry labs because horses and options for live horses don't really go well in convention centers. Mm-hmm. So we have dry labs where we'll have models and things they can come in and practice a couple of those how-tos. They've been really popular the past couple of years since we started them.
So all of your papers that are submitted are reviewed, and I assume there are times when they're rejected?
Oh, yeah. We had around 170 papers submitted this year for around 70 slots. So yes, everything goes through. It's not just reviewed, it's peer reviewed, and it's a blinded review process on that.
Oh, so you don't know who submitted it. They're just reading it and going, okay, I buy this or I don't.
Right. And likewise, when the feedback comes out, because we try to provide feedback for everybody who submits a paper, right? It, whether that feedback is, you know, we didn't make it this year, but here's some things you could do to improve the paper, either to submit it elsewhere or to resubmit it again to us next year, or it's feedback because we've accepted it and we want to strengthen the paper for publication in the proceedings. The proceedings is the book that is compiled as part of this process. And last year we had over 500 pages of scientific papers published.
So that's all the papers that were submitted and accepted end up in a big book. And I didn't know about that till you told me about that.
Yes. Yes. It's a very big book.
And you're in charge of that?
That is also, yeah, that's me too. I make sure that the headings are right and, you know, everything that they have needs to be there and that the format, everything's in the right order. So, yeah, all of that.
Charlie, can be honest with me, though. Do you understand half of the stuff you're reading in that book?
I was a hospital rep for 15 years, so there's so definitely things I don't understand. Like, if they're talking about needle placement on an injection in the spine, but other things I understand very, very well because I sold into hospitals from pretty much top to bottom and sold contrast and worked with MRI, CT, cath labs, interventional radiology, interventional neurology. So a lot of the stuff I do actually understand.
Okay, Jamie, I'm coming back to the part where there's our listeners are smarter than us. I'm coming back to that again because, and it's ironic that you say that because I have my CT, my torso CT scans for cancer today, hopefully my last ones. So, and I'm drinking contrast right now as you're talking. So, so
did they put you on Omnipaque or Barium?
I don't know. It's in Gatorade and tastes like Gatorade, so I don't know which one this is. This is the one for Omnipaque. The GI thing.
Yep, it's probably Omnipaque. I used to sell that.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. It's a small world. Well, you know, it's so interesting what you guys do over there, and I do know that when we had our regular, I won't mention which one, when we had our regular vets on for years and years and years, another reason they like going to the American Association of Equine Practitioners was the parties. Are you in charge of those?
Yes. No, I'm not. But we do try to make an appearance at all of the parties. The parties and the trade show. It's the largest equine veterinary trade show in the world. So it's huge. But yeah, we have a lot of parties every night. Lots of parties. In the morning, parties. They have an international breakfast. They have programs for the students. They have, you know, everything. Lots of parties.
We know veterinarians spend 51 weeks of the year stressed out of their minds, and they get to go just have a blast and not even think about that stuff for a week.
Hopefully. I'm sure some of them have their phones ringing.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure.
But yeah, yeah. It's usually a relatively quiet week for them, so they get to come out and enjoy it with us.
Do you like your job?
Oh, yeah. I mean, having come out of human medical and being a horse person my entire life, absolutely. It's like the perfect blend of a job for me.
So tell me about your horse or horses.
I have a few. I have two older half Arabian Dutch harness horses that I bred that are retired. And then my latest show horses, I have a Spanish Portuguese paint mare that we've been showing mostly in Western dressage this year. She would prefer to work cows and do working equitation. That would be her dream. Mine
Spanish,
is dressage.
Portuguese. So is she Andalusian Lusitano paint?
Yeah, the sire is what they refer to as an SP cross.
Oh, wow. I want to see a picture. That sounds pretty.
Yeah, and she's extremely unique because she's a blue-eyed Dunskin, and she doesn't have any white around her eyes, so she's got eyeliner around her eyes.
Nice.
She has her own social media. You can look at her anytime.
Well, tell us what it is.
Yeah, tell us what it is. I'll put it in the show notes.
Sure. Frankie Girl Horse Stevens.
Frankie Girl.
It's at least under Franki, Girl, Horse, Run Together, Stevens in Facebook. But she also has, I haven't done much with TikTok lately, but she also has an Instagram.
Okay. Frankie Girl, Horse, Stevens. We'll check that out. That's cool. That's very cool.
So yeah. You, and then I,
you ride
and then
Western
I have a half
dressage?
Friesian. Yes. Yeah. This year has been the first year I've shown it because I come from more of a classical background. And my half Friesian is seeming to do well, we can't find a saddle to fit his short back. So he's seeming to do better in classical, and we're just going to leave him there for now. But yeah, the mare has been doing very, very well with me.
Oh my gosh, she is amazing looking. Wow, I found Frankie Girl Horse Stevens on Facebook.
Thank you. She thanks you too.
That's funny.
She's quite a diva.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today, and we also thank you for listening, you know, and being an auditor. Thank you for that as well.
Well, thank you guys so much for the opportunity and, you know, for bringing AAEP into the fold. It's always good for us to get our name out there because horse owners don't necessarily know us, even though we're now doing horse owner webinars quarterly. I think the next one is on November 5th, so I'll post that in the auditors when they send that link out.
Very good. Thank you, Charlie. Daily Dose Equine offers a full line of handcrafted horse feeds to maximize the health and performance of horses and ponies of all ages. Each custom feed has been developed with whole grains and non-GMO ingredients to eliminate the risk of herbicide contamination. We are horse people ourselves and have seen firsthand the difference that superior nutrition can render in our equine partners. At Daily Dose Equine, we never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Learn more at DailyDoseEquine.com, and Daily Dose is also available at Chewy and Tractor Supply. DailyDoseEquine.com.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. This is the time of the week where you maybe you're just looking through Facebook or wherever you get your news and you see a story and you're like, that's super weird. And then you email it to me at weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Some of you have been sending it to Jamie@horseradionetwork.com, and I just found all those, so I've included you in on it. But if you send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com, you guys know I can't keep anything organized, so this is the best I can do. But I would like to thank these people. This is 2 weeks worth. Beth, Taylor, Michelle, Nikki, Carrie, Caitlin, Alicia, Amanda, Jenny, another Carrie. I can't read my handwriting. Janelle, Shelley, Lindsay, Charlotte, Alyssa, Glenn, Susan, Peggy, and Julie, with an honorable mention going to Debbie, because Debbie sent me one, and next to it, it says, I know you can't use this on the show, but I thought I should send it anyway. And I'm like, you have my attention. So I love those too. Even though I can't read it, I do like to read it, not on the air. Okay, so we're going to head to Alaska for this first one, because this is just super weird. So Seattle Kraken is an NHL team, the Seattle Kraken, which is like a cool name. Seattle Kraken is an NHL team. And they decided that they wanted to do a photo shoot with their forward, John Hayden, and the team's troll mascot. They have a mascot that's a troll. I don't know what a kraken and a troll have to do with anything, but whatever. Yeah. It's fine. So they were in Alaska doing a promotional video shoot. They were in the Katmai National Park as part of a trip promoting youth hockey. And they're out in the river, like fly fishing, and it's the forward guy, John Hayden, and this idiot dressed up as whatever he looks like, a kraken troll something or other. Anyway, I don't know if you guys know how I feel about people dressed up in mascot costumes, but it's my biggest fear is people in costume. It's unexplainable. It's crazy. I don't know. I don't like it. Well, apparently somebody else in the river didn't like it, and that would be the grizzly bear that was across the river.
Oh my God.
Who saw the troll kraken thing out in the river and charged. Glenn, the photos are incredible because it's this stupid guy, this stupid costume, and there's, you can see the grizzly bear in the back in the first picture. Second picture, he's getting closer. Third picture, he's in full run getting closer. They ended up all, like, apparently in the video, they're like, oh my God, you can hear somebody going, oh my God, and you see the forward guy, he's fishing, and then you see the stupid guy dressed up as a troll, and they're looking back,
who probably
and then
can't
running.
See very well out of the troll outfit, right?
I mean, hopefully you could see the giant grizzly bear running at you. So the bear charges him, splashes through the water, and they're like, what are we going to do? We can't run. And I guess it turned away right before making contact with him. They kept filming, of course. And they posted the video, and they're using this as their promotional photo shoot.
I gotta say that the troll outfit probably needed a new one after the guy went in his pants.
Oh, he was in waders, so it was stuck in there real good. And they did post it and said, no trolls or bears were hurt in the making of this video.
Always respect. Oh, I see the picture.
Wildlife.
Holy crap.
Yeah, right? Did you Google it?
Yes, I see the picture.
Yeah, they're all like looking back like, oh my God,
and
this
you know,
grizzly bear is full sprint.
When they're in their full sprint and have that attitude on, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Oh yeah, like you're going to die.
And the other two fishermen in this picture are just standing there watching right beside the troll dude. And it's like,
yeah,
I would have been.
Oh
my God.
Oh, it's known as the Kraken Sea Troll mascot named Buoy. Okay, that's your stretch. You're reaching. Okay, Seattle. Make it a cup of coffee or something.
It kind of does look like a cartoon character troll. It's not really menacing looking, but maybe menacing looking would have been better when the bear's chasing you.
Yeah, I mean, the bear was like, what the hell is that thing? And he doesn't like people in costume either. So,
it looks like there were people on the shore on the side the bear came from.
Yeah, and they're continuing to film. Everybody's filming. Apparently, it just popped out of the woods, saw them, and was like, ah!
It's funny. It went right after the costume dude.
Yeah, of course. Hey, if you're going to drink or do drugs, stay home, okay? Just stay home. Because where is this? San Fernando Valley. There was witnesses say that there was a woman who appeared to be dancing on the roof of a small municipal outbuilding. It's outside of a San Fernando Recreation Center on Park Avenue. And everybody's watching this idiot standing up on this roof, this drunk chick dancing. Woo! Dancing on the roof. Crash! Boom! She falls through the roof. Duh. Of course she's going to fall through the roof. However, unfortunately, she fell through the roof, but not all the way through the roof, and required 911 to be called. So the Los Angeles Fire Department rushes out to try to get her. They can't get her. They can't get her out of the roof. So what happens? They're like, they radio back. They're like, hey guys, we got a woman stuck in roof out here. They dispatch Sky 5 helicopter. They start circling over the head of this small outbuilding where this drunk chick fell through, and the LA Fire Department is trying to free her. It took them over an hour to get this trapped woman. It's almost like, do you remember baby Jessica who fell in a well?
Yes.
Yeah. And all the media attention. This idiot who climbed up onto the building, an outbuilding of a recreation center, probably housed like footballs or something, falls halfway through the roof, can't get out. They have, could you imagine how embarrassing that is to have a helicopter flying overhead while your dumb drunk self is stuck in a roof? The LA Fire Department, they ended up having to get a rope system, get the rope system to her, hook up some sort of hoist and lift her straight up. And the picture is her. She looks like she's been hogtied and her hands are above her head and they pulled her out. Her shirt has fallen down and the firefighters are trying to cover up her boobs.
I was just going to say, the only thing that would make this a Florida story is if she was naked. that would have been a Florida story.
She ended up, I will tell you that this is the last sentence of the article. And there were so many articles that came to me that had more questions than answered. And this was kind of one of them. But here's the end of it. The woman, believed to be about 30 years old, was not affiliated with the Recreation Center or in any official business. No further details about the woman or why she was on the roof were provided.
She was recreating, all right.
She was recreating.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would have been a Florida story if she'd been naked. That was the one thing that was missing.
We're going to go to Biola-Battery, Alabama.
And
I can't hear Biola-Battery, Alabama and not think of Forrest Gump. So as soon as I saw this story, I was like, oh. Biola-Battery, Alabama. So this is not a story about Forrest or any of his people in Biola-Battery, Alabama. This is a story about Kimberly Valente Aviles. And Kimberly was in a relationship with her boyfriend, and he broke up with her. And apparently she was fairly upset by that. I do have her mugshot, which I love it when they're provided. It makes me so happy. And Kimberly Valente Aviles looks like she'd be the kind of person to do this. So I guess her boyfriend went to work and he parked in the parking lot of his work, which has cameras everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. And so she was filmed. As she drives into the parking lot, gets out of the car with something that appears to be or was on fire. And then she walks up to the car. I don't know if she's got a key or how she got it in the car, but she took said item that looks like a giant amount of paper, opens the car door, chucks the on fire paper into her now ex-boyfriend's car, and then runs to her car, gets in, and speeds out of the parking lot. Kimberly, there's cameras, honey.
Everywhere. Everywhere. I'm watching the video now.
It's so fun to watch this stuff. About 6 minutes goes by. Somebody notices, hey, that car's on fire. And he runs in the building, comes out with a fire extinguisher, and he comes out and starts extinguishing the fire. Well, clearly, this man looks at the video footage and he's like, oh my God, that's my ex-girlfriend. She's crazy. And they then decide to do a manhunt for Kimberly, who evades police for 2 whole weeks. She left town. She decided to come back to town because she decides that, you know what? I think we can work things out. And she goes back to the boyfriend and he's like, 911, she's here. Do you think, and all I could think was like, oh, he totally played her. They probably, like, he knows she set the car on fire. And then she leaves and she's like, I got to get out of here. And her ex-boyfriend starts texting her like, hey, baby, I think we can make it work. I think you should come back. I really miss you. I want to be with you so bad. And she's like, it was a police sting, Glenn. Sting. And they caught her when she came back to town to try to get back together with her ex-boyfriend. She has now been charged with arson. She's in jail.
You know what? Surprised it didn't burn the whole car up. It looks like it just got the seat.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they got it put out quick enough.
Yeah, she just didn't put enough paper in there. Sister, we got to talk. If you want to get this done, you got to do some Googling first.
Molotov cocktail or something. You can't just do paper. You got to
put it in his tailpipe.
Yeah,
come
something.
On. What were you doing? Sorry,
gotta
don't
do better
that.
Than that. Not that we encourage that, of course, here on this show.
No, of course not. No. But I mean, if you're going to do something bad, do it bad. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to have a final rescue. So we started with a guy getting charged by a grizzly bear. Probably needed to be rescued. We had a woman who fell into a chimney. Then they had to save the car. Well, now we're going to go to Vernon, Connecticut, because bless his heart, you know, it's just a guy at Northeast Elementary School trying to, you know, play on the playground with kids. I'm assuming it was all innocent. and he's like on the playground. I mean, I took Lucas to playgrounds when he was like three, but I didn't make bad choices. Well, this man made some bad choices, and he decides that he, at 40 years old and not small, is going to go through one of those windy tube slides, you know?
Oh, jeez. They're pretty narrow on the playground.
Pretty narrow, Glenn. Not for a man his size. And it's not like he's this giant, huge fat guy. He's just a big dude. Like, he's just a big tattooed guy. So he is up at the top and he's like, hey, kids, I'm going to slide down through this tube slide that twists around, you know? Well, he starts to slide down into the tube slide. And at some point, you know, I guess in the turns, maybe he got flipped over and stuck, like straight up stuck. And so again, 911 is called. Firefighters are amazing. I love every one of you. Get stuck in the tube slide. It's summer. Even in Connecticut, it's hot. It's 4:30 p.m. on a summer day in Connecticut. This was August 16th, Glenn. So, like, it was hot. It was like 4 days ago. That's how instantly we do weird news. So he gets stuck. So they have to call the firefighters. Well, they got to take it all apart. They got to get it all cut apart. So he's like dying in there. So they end up having to like cram oxygen tanks up in there fill the tube with oxygen because he can't breathe.
I assume they had to cut it apart.
They get the slide cut apart. He is stuck. Okay, here it is. It says he was found head first and foot first. How does that happen in a tube slide, Glenn? He somehow got folded in half going down a elementary school playground.
He is never going to live this down.
never his ever friends again. He was wedged in like the middle portion of where it twists around, and somehow his face got below his feet, but he was like folded in. This dude must have been doing yoga.
He's going to be sore for a month.
They said that he was evaluated after they rescued him, and he refused treatment. He's like, just let me get out of here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go home and hide under the couch.
The helicopter was not dispatched, and no further information was released.
He's never going to the park with the kids again.
Oh, damn kids. I wonder if he's a grandpa. You know, he could have been a grandpa. Like, he's out there just trying to play with the grandkids. But anyway,
I want to go to the park. And he's going to go, hell no, I'm never going there.
Never going there again. Debbie, Beth, Taylor, Michelle, Nikki, Carrie, Kaylin, Alicia, Amanda, Jenny, Carrie, Janelle, Shelly, Lindsay, Charlotte, Alyssa, Glenn, Susan, Peggy, and Julie. Thank you guys all for sending me weird news. If you see any this next week, send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com.
Well, there'll be no post show today. As I said, I have to go for a test. Sorry about
that.
Good
luck, buddy.
Thank you. We will have the Equine Affair episode tomorrow. I helped do that one, and it's a good episode, actually. We had the most fascinating vet from the Northeast on talking about some cool things that they're doing now, including how they're using AI at vet offices now. So that was interesting.
I also had a friend send me, oh my God, I can't believe you got this guest. I can't wait to listen to this episode. I love this person so much. I follow all of her Facebook and all of her media. And I was like, that's a quarter horse episode. That's not mine.
That was yesterday. That. So she can listen to yesterday.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that wasn't me. She was like, oh man, I had so many questions for you to ask her. So apparently that was a good one too.
And we'll have Friday, we'll have some really bad ads for you as well. I have a good news story for you at the end of the show today. It's about Jason Brown. He was a football player at the NFL. $37.5 million NFL contract. And he decided to just hang it up. He walked out on his contract. He decided that he was meant for more than just playing football. At 29 years old, he bought a 1,000-acre farm in North Carolina. He taught himself to farm by watching YouTube videos, like we all do. And learned by doing, working the land. And day after day, he started growing vegetables and things. And today he runs First Fruits Farm, where he doesn't sell anything. He has never sold a crop. He gives it away to homeless shelters. So he has now donated over 1 million pounds of fresh produce to North Carolina homeless shelters. And he says that he's happiest as he's ever been. And he's enjoying his farm, and he's enjoying farming and doing all the produce, the fruits and vegetables, actually, he does. But
oh, my
what
God,
a cool
he
guy.
And Lisa Wysocki need to get married. Is
I know.
Enough?
I thought about that, actually. I thought they would be a great couple, those two. But, yeah, he just walked away from his contract. Apparently didn't even finish it and lost millions of dollars by doing that, but he's doing something
he
loves
should
now.
Have stuck it out. Then he would add more millions to put in.
I think he was doing all right, I guess.
Okay.
He could probably
gotcha.
Do this. But good for Jason Brown. There's your happy story to end
the day. Wow, that's cool.
All right, everybody, be safe.
Spay, neuter, and geld.